This episode of Enough is brought to you by Squarespace, everything you need to create an amazing and powerful website. Squarespace has the most comprehensive blog importing tool on the web. It's designed to make the process of switching your blog totally pain-free and seamless. Squarespace's system doesn't just import your posts and comments like many other systems. It ensures that all of your media is imported, URLs remain working, and that all of your data moves along too. The system is superb, and it gets the job done right first time. The importer tool is available for all major blogging platforms, including Typepad, MovableType, WordPress, and Blogger. But Squarespace also makes it easy to export your blog too. They don't believe about locking you in, although I'm sure you wouldn't want to leave. But it's great that they include this function. If you have a blog and a hosting solution elsewhere, then you should really check out Squarespace. It takes all of the hassle away and provides you with a powerful, rock-solid system unlike any other, with plans starting as little as $8 a month. You should go and try this out now by starting your 2-week free trial by going to squarespace.com/70decibels. You can test out the blog importer there to get a great idea to see if this is going to be the service for you. I'm sure you'll choose to go to Squarespace, and we have a great deal for you if you do. Use the code 70decibels6 at 70decibls6 at checkout, and you'll get 10% off your first order. Thank you very much to Squarespace for supporting 70 Decibels.
Mr. Hurley, how are you today?
Mr. Roan, you sound pumped.
I am pumped. I'm very pumped.
I know you're excited about this episode.
Yeah, well, because... Yeah, here's the deal. One of the perks of doing the little website that I do for the 3 or 4 people that read it is that I get to form, friendships, relationships with developers. And developers of Mac and iOS applications, especially to me, are like they're rock stars, right? I mean, like some people get like all hyped and jazzed about being able to pick up the phone and call David Bowie or something, right? And me, I get pumped and jazzed by the fact that I don't know. Someone like Matt Bischoff would even receive a DM from me, let alone be able to pick up the phone and actually talk to him. But here, that's essentially what we've done. We've picked up our electronic digital phone provided to us by the Skype gods, Microsoft. And we have with us Matt Bischoff of QuoteBook fame. And anyone who doesn't know by now, QuoteBook is perhaps my favorite app on iOS, period. And I can say on iOS now because it used to be just iPhone, but now it's iOS because they have an iPad app. So, Matt, welcome.
Hey, Pat and Mike, how are you guys doing? It's great to see you.
Very good. Thanks for coming back. I have to say before we continue, as a testament to Pat's feelings about this app, when you guys launched the new website, I was seeing a few click-throughs coming through to us. So I went and took a look at the quotes, because you have some, like, box quotes.
Yeah. We have full quotes, right?
And there's one from the episode where you were on with us last. And this is I assume this is Pat. This is a beautiful, beautiful app. Seriously, it brings me to tears. I couldn't recommend this app more highly. And I read that. I was like, that is so
that's
Patrick
one of, that's Ryan. One of my favorite. That's in my personal quote book because I love that one so much.
But it's true. It is so true. I mean, because...
Should we, for anybody that doesn't know, in case, we've had some new listeners since then. Matt, why don't you just give people a very brief overview to what QuoteBook is?
Sure thing. QuoteBook is an iOS app for storing, sorting, and sharing the quotes that matter to you. So it takes a different approach than all the other quote apps on the App Store, and it just starts out completely blank. And that's intimidating to some people, but what it's encouraging you to do is just go through life and capture the quotes that are really important to you in books, on websites. Now we support sharing from Instapaper and Launch Center. And you capture those quotes, it syncs across your iPhone and iPad. We have a beautiful new iPad app. And then it makes it really easy to share those quotes. So you can see them by author, by source. You can even tag them and rate them. And then share them out on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, SMS, email, and more.
Perfect.
Yeah. And for someone like me, and I think this is true of a lot of writers, I have long collected quotes, and not just in the traditional sense. In a lot of cases, it's, you know, quotes from, you know, really interesting passages from a book, or a nice kind of string of words that I read on in a blog post or something like that. And I even captured things like that in QuoteBook. I used to keep those in a text file that I called Bits of Words and Wisdom. but now I've taken all that stuff and even transferred it into QuoteBook, because QuoteBook makes it so much easier to not only store that stuff, but to categorize it and to, you know, with tagging, or to, you know, have, I want to see all of my favorite quotes from, say, Seth Godin, or all of my favorite, you know, favorite little bits of writing from Stephen King or something. You get what I'm saying, right? You know, it's that ability to call that stuff up very quickly and easily and have it all in one place is phenomenal. And the iPad version just brings it to the whole new level, because you guys, along with the iPad version, you also incorporated iCloud support.
Right. Which was that was 9 months of work, actually. That was the biggest. It was painful to do that, but I'm really glad we did it.
Why was it so painful? Like, I don't know how much you're able to say.
Right, no, it's all public now. So when Apple released the iOS 5 SDK and they said iCloud was ready to go and it just works, there are basically three ways to do iCloud in an app. There's key value store, which is just for small bits of data, for like user preferences and settings and things like that. And that wouldn't work for QuoteBook because we have tons of quotes. Some users have 600, 1,000, 1,200 quotes. There's a document-based storage, which doesn't make a lot of sense, because when you think about QuoteBook, it's not a collection of documents, right? It's just a collection of small little objects. So we fit into this third category that Apple likes to call shoebox apps, or library-style applications. And we use a technology called Core Data to manage all the relationships between authors and quotes and tags and quotes and things like that. It's basically an abstraction on SQLite, which is a database technology. So the syncing for iCloud for that SQLite database, you can't just sync the entire database because of the way that SQLite is written, and if you have two people writing to a SQLite database at the same time, it'll be corrupted. So what you do instead is you sync transaction logs, and the transaction logs are essentially a replay of what happened to that database. And in 5.0, Apple said that was ready, and there were a lot of problems, most of which me and my friends Brian and Andrew at Lickability discovered and forwarded on to Apple in the form of many, many, many bug reports, late night emails, phone calls, meetings with people at Apple. And so in 5.1, they got it to a point where we were comfortable, even though we still needed a ton of workarounds to get around the remaining bugs, we could ship it and feel confident. But 6.0 makes it even better. So when 6.0 comes out, everything is just going to get a lot faster and a lot more stable with the iCloud syncing.
Well, and I think that the thing about iCloud support and its difficulty that I've come to understand now, having been involved with the development of an iOS app of our own, one that still, you know, iCloud support is our top feature request, and we are also struggling to get it to work correctly. I think that this is a really, I think, hard thing for a lot of users to understand. You know, on one hand, Apple will say, yes, here it is. It's ready. It just works. That you'll see other apps kind of incorporating iCloud support, and it seems to work for them. And so then when they turn to you and say, okay, where's the iCloud support? And you say, well, we're still working on it. They're like, what? Well, it works here, and it works there, and it works with this other thing. Why can't you guys make it work? It should be easy, you know?
Totally. We've gotten that same thing about Dropbox. Like, people who say, well, you have iCloud. Well, when are you going to add Dropbox support? And the problem is Dropbox doesn't support syncing databases. So we'd have to re-architect the way that we think about the data, and that's a huge undertaking. And with iCloud now working, it seems like that's the way to go.
Yeah. Like, one of the things I've noticed of being like a user, like, I'm a big fan of the app Instacast.
Sure, me too.
And I use the iPad and the iPhone version, and it syncs. It does sync via iCloud. Sometimes it can go a bit funny, but about 95% of the time, it works for me. But I have lots of people, like, you know, when I talk about Instacast, they say to me, "Oh, iCloud never works for me." But I just find it so peculiar that it seems to be on a user to user basis. Totally can change the way that the system works, and for some it works flawlessly, and others never worked at all.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I had major problems with one version of Instacast, but everything seems to be catching up now, so that's good.
Yeah,
it's, so, I don't. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You were going to say.
Well, I was just going to say that I feel bad for every developer that has to work on iCloud, because it is sort of a black box, and Apple is not the most developer friendly company to talk to. So a lot of the time you're guessing and checking, and that's a really frustrating position to be in. So I never email developers yelling about their, well, I never yell at developers anyway, because I am one, but I think it's a really important to say, like, if you're having issues with some app that has iCloud, like, contact the developer. They've probably had those same issues with their own thing, and they'll try their best to help you out. It's just going to be a little bit difficult.
So this is kind of a nice segue into the other thing that I wanted to talk with you about, which is a lot of the announcements at WWDC with iOS 6, Mountain Lion, things like that.
Yeah.
One thing that I think a lot of people may notice is that there's oftentimes a lot of bug fix and feature releases that come immediately after, you know, or I should say in the couple of weeks following WWDC. Right. And a lot of that is the results of developers actually having a chance to go to labs and get hands-on help from Apple engineers with their apps. How much of that... was there anything that you experienced at WWDC this year that you think will make your app better in the coming weeks?
There's so many things, and I think that the biggest ones that we'll have to wait until iOS 6. Mm. But lots of little performance improvement stuff, and I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch all the talks, of course. Right. You know, when I'm in my room and I can just focus on it. But there are so many nuggets, and there are so many smart people speaking at that event that I think a ton of the stuff that they've announced, a lot of it is still under NDA, but we'll see a future in QuoteBook, definitely.
Yeah. So you think it's valuable that you're going to end up with a better product because of what you learned?
Yeah.
Definitely. And did you take advantage of any of the hands-on lab help?
We went to Brian and I went to the iCloud Core Data Lab, and we're just hung out there the whole time. Actually, we talked to a lot of other people in line that were impressed that we actually got it to work.
You're like iCloud rock stars.
Help us, please. Yeah.
Maybe you should have been hosting the lab session.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we could have. Like, it's just so many months of research into it.
Yeah,
I think that was. I mean, when QuoteBook 2 came out, you got quite a lot of press for it. Like, I saw it was hitting up places like The Verge and stuff like that. Which is, you know, that's for an indie developer, that's a pretty big place to be. Do you think it might have been because you actually had iCloud working? Like, people were surprised because there aren't a lot of apps that implement sync.
Yeah, that was a lot of the interest from the reporters and bloggers that we talked to, was like how we got it to work, and because they had been talking to other developers who were trying and couldn't quite get it. So I think that had a huge. Also, we know people at a lot of these places. Like, being in New York is huge. Right, being in any major metro area like San Francisco or New York, where there's a lot of people, you get to know people at The Verge and these sites, and you can
The Verge are in New York, aren't they? They're based.
Yes,
in New
they
York.
Are. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, do tell, from a developer perspective, you know, we get a lot of the, you know, perspective of, you know, reporters and bloggers and things like that about WWDC, but you know, Worldwide Developers Conference is about developers, as Mr. Ballmer would say. From that, I would think that developers have kind of a different take on some of the things that were announced and things that they see coming. Without, you know, getting yourself into trouble with Fruitco, which is my pet name for Apple. What's exciting? What's interesting to you? What are you looking forward to, both as a user and as a developer?
For me, this was one of Apple's one of Apple's best WWDC keynotes, at least in a really long time.
Maybe since the iPhone. I think it was the biggest since the iPhone.
Well, yeah, the iPhone was actually a Macworld keynote.
That was Macworld, right. Wow. So I think that while I'm a little bit nervous about the maps is the one thing that makes me kind of have some uh-oh feelings. Like, I don't know if they're going to be able to get all the data and everything that they need to create as good of a product as the Google Maps implementation that they had. So that one I'm crossing my fingers on. But everything else, just really nice improvements to the phone app, the reply with message and the remind callback are such a nice touch that, like, anybody could have done, but it's the fact that Apple, like, thought about it and actually did it that amazes me. Like, I'm going to use that all the time because I actually use my phone as a phone. So
I hate to say this, and I am starting to become that person, but that's on Android. That is on Android.
They did a lot of I also really like that they opened up their reminders the reminders API. So I think every to-do list now is just going to be chucking their to-dos into reminders so that you can add from Siri and you can pull from Siri and everything. I mean, OmniFocus has had that, but it's been an implementation that's broken a couple of times just because they're relying on CalDAV to do it. And now it's actually public for reminders, which is great.
I'm really excited about rich text support. Native rich text support.
Yeah, like, so that's one thing I can I guess announce today. Like, QuoteBook, as soon as we can, we're going to allow you to bold and italicize stuff in all of your quotes.
It'll be huge.
Just think
that could be very nice.
Imagine how many just text editors there were. Now there's going to be rich text editors as well. Yep. The market's going to get massive.
Oh my gosh, that's frightening, actually.
And I think Passbook is really interesting. I don't know. I'm wondering about which partners are going to use it on launch, but I think it's really people could do really cool stuff with it.
Mm-hmm. You see, like people like Starbucks will use it. I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be that Passbook has the potential to be massive. And obviously, we're really well. I know I am really interested now. I mean, I know this didn't come out of WWDC, but it's come later. Podcasts have disappeared from the mobile iTunes store.
Right, that's very suspicious.
And what's going to happen there? Are they deprecating the feature, or are they going to make it a more important one of those? You know, are they going to make it one of those things where it's still something to announce when the iPhone releases because developers don't need to worry about it?
Right. Yeah, that's certainly possible.
And I hope that they do it. I hope they give more features to more people. And you know, there's a lot of talk about Apple hosting the files, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I'm very interested to see what they do with that as well.
One of the things I found interesting because without seeing it and using it, I can't say this for sure, but it looks like it Sherlocked an app that I have used for a while and come to rely on, is the ability to set priority email messages and contacts and things like that.
Oh, you're talking about a Wayfind?
Yeah, I'm talking about a Wayfind.
Right. So Wayfind is great, but it is something that makes a lot more sense built in. And I think, like, VIP inbox and do not disturb together kind of do that, because you'll get the full push notification, like, banner and everything for VIPs. And then you can, in do not disturb, you can say only have these VIPs give me a call, like, allow to ring through. Or the coolest thing was when they said, or if somebody calls twice within a 3-minute period, we can also have it go through.
I was like, genius.
Wow. They actually thought about this.
That's the attention to detail. That is Apple's attention to detail.
And that's going to be huge for me. I mean, it's huge, right? Because my mom does that, right? My wife does that, right?
Yeah.
Totally. And so that's actually going to solve a bit of a problem for me, because even in QuoteBook 2.0, we still put our phone number in the app. something that very, very few people do and very few people notice. But actually in the settings, you can tap it and call us. And I don't want to be waking up for QuoteBook calls at 4 a.m. in the morning when I've got work.
You just told a lot of people.
We've gotten about 80 or so calls since we yeah, absolutely.
You're going to get a few more.
Yeah, well, now I'd love to say hi, though. If you're using the app and you just want to say hi, feel free to tap that. I'll
seriously? I'll
talk to you. Yeah,
you're
for
crazy.
Real, yeah.
You're
I know.
I mean, I'm worried of people having my email address or being able to...
Well, I mean, it's not a cell phone. It's a Google Voice number, so we can control it. But yeah, yes,
I still, expect to see a point release in the next 2 weeks. Bug fixes.
Bug fixes.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't mention that as much as I do because it's definitely going to be a spike.
I was just kidding. I love getting email, patrick@patrickrown.com. You talked a lot about iOS, but what about the mountain lion? What are you liking some of the stuff that's happening there? I mean,
yeah,
I have it installed
and it seems remarkably smooth, remarkably stable, and it feels exactly like Snow Leopard to me. Like it's like they just took it and they sat down for a year and they polished it.
Yeah.
Of course, they added a ton of new features as they always do, but nothing that gets in the way. They actually made Launchpad a little bit better. Launchpad is one of those features that I always question why they added it.
Yeah,
it's not for us.
Yeah, no, I know it's not for us, but it didn't even seem useful for regular people to me, non nerds. But they added search to it, so that's really nice.
Yeah,
paired with the new MacBook Pro with Retina, it's gonna be beautiful.
Well, and I can tell you where. I've been building this new media center where I'm using this basically this large screen TV that a friend of mine gave me. It's his old 42 inch plasma, and it needed a new bulb. And he wanted to get a new TV anyway, so he's like, I'm either going to put this out on the curb or you can have it, right? As long as you know, you just need to buy a new bulb for it, which I did. And it's great. So I've got it hooked up to a Mac Mini 720p, and I'll tell you, finally, things like Launchpad and Mission Control and full screen mode really reveal themselves. When you're looking at a big screen from across the room, navigating
right.
it with the magic trackpad, you're like, now I get it. Now I understand.
That see
stuff is perfect for this, right?
Right. And also, I think Notification Center, it looks really good and works really well in Mountain Lion. I think that, like with Growl, and then some people do their own alert systems and everything is inconsistent in how it behaves, what happens when you click on it. Like, they've gotten that all together and they did a really good job with Notification Center on Mountain Lion. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah. And if you have not purchased Growl from the Mac App Store recently, you're greeted every day with a, hey, there's a new version available. Update now.
They're using Growl to sell Growl.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but then that's fine.
What do you guys think?
What? Go ahead.
What do you guys think about PowerNap?
I don't feel like I know a lot about it, to be honest.
Right.
From what I understand is there's basically iCloud stuff and updates and such happens when you have an SSD Mac turned into sleep mode, right?
So right, when you're connected to power, it's going to download all your software updates, it's going to do all your backups even when it's asleep.
So does it turn any monitors on? Do they all stay off? Like it does?
I think they all do stay off. Yeah.
It's interesting. It is very interesting.
Well, and it downloads the updates. Does it install the updates too?
No, I think it just says it downloads the updates. So I think it does not install them.
I mean, because updates already will download in the background.
But
if you're connected to
Mac
Power.
App Store download updates as well.
Oh, okay. So yeah, the Mac App Store updates as well.
Software,
okay,
Mac App Store, and updates to all your mail, contacts, calendars, documents, photo stream, everything.
And I assume it does Time Machine as well.
Yes, it does Time Machine. So what it says here is, while all the updating is going on, the system sounds are silent and no fans or lights come on. So
no fans. That's cool. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, once again, it's one of those nice little polished touches sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I reckon it will have, like, I mean, obviously I haven't seen it, but I thought it might have some sort of feature to it. Like, do you remember when they first showed off Time Machine and it, and like the desktop flew into space and it was like, ooh, it's like one of those features.
Yeah.
I mean, it is those kind of nice little all around updates. I mean, I think Snow Leopard was a far more significant upgrade than a lot of people, A, gave it credit for, and B, would have even seen.
Right.
Because what Snow Leopard did was it, I mean, they removed a ton of legacy code.
That yes. Was,
I mean, they basically went through and did a complete
audit
from the ground up, code audit on every single aspect, every single line, and anything that didn't need to be there, they got rid of. That's why when you install Snow Leopard, you end up with more space for two reasons. Number one, they chose to count the space differently, finally.
Well, they also took out all the printer drivers.
Well, yeah. They took out a lot of the stuff that didn't need to be there by default. But I would say, but another big significant change was the amount of cleanup that they did that really cut the crop from the operating system.
This feels like that to me, even though they've added a lot. Like it feels like they really focused on stability because even the betas are super stable.
Really? Oh, yeah. See, now you shouldn't have said that. I really avoid installing betas, especially the operating system.
Pat, right? You've got like 3 or 4 weeks tops, you know, just just chill. Just hold off, man. Just, you know.
All right. I'm trying, but if the beta is super stable, it's going to be hard.
The new Safari feels great too. Like feels really fast. The zoom out tabs thing is less crazy than you'd think. It's really kind of nice.
Safari's the thing that I'm most excited for because I use Safari. That's my preferred browser.
Me too.
And I have an Omnibar extension. And it sometimes breaks and doesn't actually offer any like search features or suggestions. So I'm really excited to have an Omnibar that I don't have to refresh the extension every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So moving forward, and I know you can't really, you know, speculate on future plans. I'm just thinking, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Is Mountain Lion the sort of thing that you could see developing now that you have iCloud kind of figured out? You got it nailed before anyone else really nailed it. You guys nailed it. Can you see yourself maybe doing a quote book for, I don't know, Mac OS X? Like, just tell me.
That old operating system.
Yeah.
So I will say that we get requests for that every single day
from me, because I've set up, I have an automatic email that says Hazel does it for me. It just, you know, shoots off an email to you every day.
Even I met Sean Blanc while I was at WWDC, and he wants it as well. So
yeah. Yeah,
a lot of very important people want this Mac app. The question is, like, do we have the time to do it, and do we have the right design for it? And I haven't figured out the right design for it yet. Like, does it want to be a menu bar extension sort of thing for quick entry at first, or does it want to be more like reminders or notes that sort of feels very very much like the iOS app on the desktop? Or what does it want to feel like?
That's what Apple does. Apple just now makes iOS apps.
Right. But I don't know if that would work. What do you think?
I could foresee it being very. Oh, geez. For lack of a better term, mail-like, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think of the iOS app in landscape mode, or I should say the iPad app in landscape mode. Take that. Put some macOS Chrome around it and ship it. It really is that simple, right? I mean, I know development. I've worked in development for a long time, and I do know these things are super easy. You guys just lie. You lie. You tell people that it's ridiculously hard because you don't want people invading the space. But look, you can do this. I know you can. So we'll be seeing that tomorrow?
Well, you know, if you want to just take a screenshot and mock something up, you'll definitely see that tomorrow. That's all I've got for you. It's something that we really want to do, and we're just figuring out how to do it right.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. The other reason why you need this. Dictation. Okay. Hello.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I'm so excited about that. I get worried that it's going to be like sort of like the iOS dictation and that it won't let me talk for long periods of time. Because I when I'm talking on iOS for like a long, like a paragraph even, it takes a really long time to catch up, and then I'm kind of bored. And I wish it was more like Max Beach Dictate or something like that, even though I know it's the same underlying technology. But
Yeah. Once again, this is another area. I think what I see Apple putting into place here, just like with Snow Leopard, I think Snow Leopard, that these kind of releases are not just spit and polish releases, but they're also setup releases, right? Mm-hmm. They're, let's set some things up now so that with macOS 10.8, we can do... We can take this and blow it up, right?
Yeah, you're right. You're totally right about that.
And you know, and so I'm seeing these things like the sharing, like the dictation, like the notification center, things like this.
Even the ability to launch apps from Siri on iOS is clearly hinting in the direction of like a Siri API or some more integration there.
Yes. And I mean, there's. And I've said this for a while. I don't. We have all of the technology and pieces in place, This is what was so frustrating about the Surface event for me, or one of the many things that was so frustrating about the Microsoft Surface event. And that is, here's a company that has all the pieces in place to do amazing things. Like really, truly, like groundbreaking things. Like things that nobody else is doing. And they're not doing it. And it really, really bugs me.
So do you think the Surface is just going to be terrible? Do you think it's vaporware? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I have no idea what to think until, I don't know, it's shipping. or they, I don't know, put it in the hands of somebody and let that somebody use it as much as they want.
I'm excited to try it out, though. In theory and on paper, like that. To me, looks like a good machine. Like it looks like they put some thought into it this time. I mean, they've not been able to fully think it and present it the way that we're used to having things presented to us now. But it seems like they've got some stuff in there that's different and new. And I think the Metro interface is a real refreshing interface. And at least there will be one of the two versions of Surface that will only use Metro. So I think that's a good thing.
Right, I think that's going to be the more interesting one, because I think the Metro UI language and Windows 8 together are going to be quite good. I think it's going to push Apple to do even better work.
Yeah,
I would hope so. I don't know what to think, but I guess here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this: I've said for a long time that we live in a world where today, if the right company came along and put the right user interface on it, which I don't know if you can really call this user interface. We live in a world where the technology is in place for us to have essentially Star Trek the Next Generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be able to just say, computer, give me this piece of information I need, or computer, go and, you know, contact this person for me, let me know when they've answered, and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we have the technology in place to be able to manipulate 3D objects, virtual 3D objects in space, right? That, you know, look at the Microsoft Kinect, for instance. You can do this in games. There's no reason why you can't do it with a file on your desktop. So that being said, you know, I really do see hints of this everywhere. everywhere. I think the dictation, I think Siri, I think all of that is strong hints that the direction that they're going is one where not just the keyboard and the mouse and are your only options, but also voice and perhaps movement as well. And that the pieces are being put in place for that kind of immersive, your data available to be accessed in that manner from anywhere sort of place. We'll see. We'll see. So enough of my future speculating here. We should probably wrap this up. Just real quick, from one developer to other indie developers, I want you to give some quick shout-outs to things that you think are interesting out there that people should be checking out.
Okay, that's great. Let me just pull out my phone real quick. Because that's where I always go. That's where I use my iPad, but I use my phone more. Oh, I shut it down. Okay, well, I'm going to do it from memory.
All right.
Anyone to interrupt us. Reader 3, if you haven't checked it out yet, it's sort of polarizing. You got to take a look at it at least. Some people are saying that the UI is better and the UX is worse. I just love everything that Silvio does. I think he's great. So Reader 3 is I've been using it every day. I think, we mentioned Instacast earlier in the show. I think that's still by far the best podcast client on iOS. It's killer. I agree.
Another one that's somewhat polarizing. Like folks who used Instacast for a while weren't happy with some of the more recent changes. Same sort of thing.
Right. I'm still using Instapaper to read all of my articles later. I think it's better than anything else out there. And I'm friends with Marco, so I'll just disclose that. I think that if you're looking to jot things down really quickly, Pop for iOS is killer.
Oh. You're just doing that.
If you're just looking for speed, it's just you can't beat it. But if you want something that has a little bit more flexibility than Pop and the same kind of ethos, I really like Drafts.
Yeah, Drafts is great. I don't begrudge
it. It's great. It has sent a quote book now, so that's really nice. You can draft something up and send it right over as a quote. And let's see, maybe one more. I'm still using so here's actually one. There's a new social networking app called Pair, which is just a social network for couples, and I've been using that with my girlfriend. Ooh. And it's really, really nice. It allows you to do some things in real time with your significant other, so you can do these little things called thumb kisses where you feel like you're in the same spot because you can see the other person's finger and it's called Pair.
Pair,
yeah. Pair app. Pair. I think it's trypair.com. It's stay connected with that special person in your life.
Oh, see, this is what I was waiting for. I was waiting for you to mention something that, A, I'd never heard of before,
right,
and B, something I need right now today.
Yeah, so yeah. If you're attached, Pair is really, really, really good.
Love it. Oh, look at this. Yeah, sorry, I'm looking at the website. The website's beautiful, by the way.
Yes, it is.
And the process of the way that you sign up for the app is really cool as well. And
that's true. Yeah, you send them a little video. Yeah. I think someone else did that with a similar concept. I think it's called Duet, which is sort of another app for couples where you plan dates. And I think they both came up with that idea of you sending your significant other a video, which is cool.
Damn it! I can't enter in my password for the App Store fast enough. This is frustrating. I gotta find this Pair. Understand this. So you download the app and you record like this little video and you send it to your completely non-technical mate who happens to have an iPhone because that's what you told her to have. Because see, that's what we guys who are nerds do. So you do this and you like send them an email invite.
I think it can even be an iMessage or a text.
And it sends them a link with your video and instructions on how to download the app and stuff.
Oh, nice. The only thing I don't like is that it's free.
Yeah. You hate free things.
No, I don't hate things that are free.
Well, you got to wonder how they're making money, right? And then if it goes away, what happens?
Exactly. I want to pay for this.
Yeah.
I want this.
if this works as planned, I want this to stay around forever.
What they'll do
I will pay them large sums of money to make that so.
I have their business model. Right. What they do is they monitor your conversations, and then they wait until the conversations don't seem so happy anymore, and then they recommend a couple's retreat.
Wow. Oh, man. You should go consult with them. I'm sure you can make a ton of money.
That's brilliant.
And so there's one app that hasn't been released yet, but I met the guys at WWDC, and I want to give them a plug because they're super great guys. It's called Yoink. I'm not sure what their website is, but Yoink is going to be a way to give away a bunch of stuff in your house. So you've got all these books and things and old manuals and things that other people might want, and you just don't want to go through the hassle. You just snap a picture on Yoink, someone comes and picks it up, and it's really, really easy and beautiful. So that's Yoink.
Interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's a way to stay minimal. It's a way to stay minimal.
They have a blog up.
Okay.
And they have a coming soon page up. So comingsoon.yoink.com and blog.yoink.com. So I'm assuming that eventually the app will be at www.yoink.com, which
it is coming soon.
Sends you to the coming soon page. So see this, I'm so glad we ended it this way. Oh my gosh. This is the reason why we have Matt.
I should be your personal app consultant, Pat.
Well, because you indie developer guys all know each other. You're all like, 18. You probably have built your own little social networking app so that you guys can not only find, kind of local ice cream parties, but also.
To be honest, actually, Glassboard is what a lot of people use.
Yeah. See, and so you probably have a Glassboard just set up for all of your indie dev friends and you find out about these things that no one else has ever heard of. So we'll talk to you next week, I guess.
Well, I'm so happy to be a friend of the show now. I feel like
more than a friend of the show, you're a friend of Mike and ours.
Yeah,
and that's,
you're a friend of the network, for sure.
Yeah. So
well, thanks for having me on.
We really, really appreciate it. And once again, we got to plug you. So QuoteBook, where can people find you?
If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's just QuoteBook App, and it's QuoteBookApp.com. If you're searching the App Store, make sure you get the one with the black icon with the white quotes, because there's another competitor out there, and we don't want to give them any more downloads.
By competitor, you mean a copycat, right?
I didn't say that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, same thing with Pop, by the way. But go ahead. What about just you alone? Do you want people to follow you on Twitter, or don't you give it to rats?
Sure, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm just MB. It's super easy.
Oh, that is super easy. Yeah, because you got in when there were six other people on Twitter.
Right, exactly.
All right.
I hate myself.
Well, thanks a lot, sir. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. It's been great to talk to you again.
Yeah, for sure. All right, and I guess you and I will talk later, my friend, Mr. Michael.
Cheers.
Cheers.